Matthew chapter 1. This is one of the pages in the Bible that has no number. So if you get to page 784, go back one. Page 783, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin reading verse 18 and read through the end of the chapter. Let's read God's Word together. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Thank you. You can be seated. For the next, until New Year's Day, I'm going to be sharing to you about the night, what happens in the night. And we begin today with a message that I entitled, O Holy Night. In 1605, Miguel de Cervantes wrote the story of Don Quixote. Quixote had read so many chivalric romances that he apparently had gone insane and imagined himself a Spanish knight. He recruits a farmer, Sancho Panza, as his squire, and he sets off for adventure. In 1959, Don Wasserman produced for television broadcast Man of La Mancha, based on De Cervantes' book. The broadcast was not well received, so in 1965, Wasserman adapted it to a Broadway production. The original Broadway production ran for 2,328 consecutive performances and won 5 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. The principal song of the opera was the classical song, The Impossible Dream. Now, if you promise not to sing it or hum it during the sermon, I'll read you the words. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to go, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. You know, all of us have dreams. And when I'm talking about a dream, I'm not talking about something that you had because of what you ate last night. I remember the first church I pastored, about 3 o'clock one morning, a phone rang, and I answered the phone, and it was a member of the church. Name was Larry. And Larry said, I need to tell you this dream I just had, and I need to tell you what it means. And being a kind, caring, loving pastor of 24 years old, I said, Larry, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Call me tomorrow. Well, not call me tomorrow, call me later. I hung up the phone and I thought, he definitely had a supreme pizza last night for dinner. But when I'm talking about dreams, I'm not talking about the dream you had last night. I'm talking about your life dream, your life purpose, what you see for your future, what you see unfolding in your life. And all of us have life dreams. I believe Joseph had a life dream for his future. I think Joseph's dream included the belief that one day he and his espoused wife, Mary, would be wed. That they would build a home together. That he would work and expand his carpentry business. That they would have a family. And that they would live their lives in Galilee. That they would watch their children grow and marry and have their own grandchildren. I'm sure that Joseph imagined one day building a dining room table that was large enough for all of his children and grandchildren to come to their home for Christmas. I think that Joseph and Mary probably talked a great deal about their dream. They were engaged. They were planning their future together. And I'm sure that many nights as they talked about what their life was going to be like once they were married, they talked about what they were going to do. And they probably had picked out the first name for a child and how long they wanted to wait before they had their first son or daughter. It became their dream. It became their hope. It became their future. It became what they were working and striving and laboring and sacrificing for. To see their dream be fulfilled. To see their dream come into fruition. And like Joseph, all of us have life dreams. They begin, I think, when people begin to ask us as children, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then as we get older, the question then becomes, are you going to go to college? What are you thinking about majoring in? My sons and their families were at our home Friday night for dinner, and I was standing there talking to my granddaughter, who is in 8th grade, and I said, Riley, where are you thinking about going to college? And she said, well, I'm either going to go to the University of Florida, which is where her mother graduated, or I'm going to go to Florida State, which is where her dad graduated. And I said, you know, I like that latter choice. Because if you go to Florida State, you can come over to our house and eat dinner, and I can take you out, and I can check on the boys that you're hanging around. You know, we all envision what our life is going to look like. What we will be, what we will do, what we will accomplish. I find it interesting that all of us, when we're talking about our life dream, and we're dreaming about our future and what we want to accomplish and what we want to see happen, that none of our life dreams include the harsh realities of life. Our life dreams don't include the death of a child. They don't include the miscarriage of our first pregnancy. They don't include the end of a marriage. They don't include the lingering sickness and debilitating illness of a spouse. They don't include bankruptcy. They don't include the loss of a job. They don't include an empty home. Our life dreams, we don't allow life's realities to infringe upon our life dreams, what we see for our future. That was brought home to me again this week. In fact, on Monday, two different people. I had taken my car to get the oil changed, and as I was walking out the car, a friend of mine drove up. And I was his pastor for about 10 years. In fact, I officiated at the wedding of his daughter and her husband. And I asked him, "How's your family doing?" And he said, "Well, you know," he told me how many grandchildren they have. And he said, "They're all girls." And he said, "Now, Kristen had our first great-grandchild." And I said to him, "Oh, that's wonderful. I know you guys are so proud and you're so happy." And he said, "Well, my wife has the early on stages of Alzheimer's." That was not part of their life dream. That wasn't planned as part of their future. Their future was, we're going to enjoy our lives and we're going to work hard and sacrifice for our children, and then we're going to enjoy our children, and then we're going to enjoy our grandchildren. They don't envision a grandmother who no longer can remember her own children's name or her grandchildren's name or where she is sometimes. As you know, I lead a Bible study at Westminster Oaks on Monday afternoons at 3 o'clock, and this past week, one of the gentlemen who's part of that Bible study came up to me and he said, "I'd like for you to pray for me." I said, "Mr. Kicklider, how can I pray for you? What do you want me to pray for you about?" And I was thinking he's going to tell me that he's sick or something's wrong with one of their children. And he said, "My wife and I were married 69 years, and this will be my first Christmas without her." That wasn't part of his life dream. His life dream was not that he would be living alone in a little small one-bedroom studio apartment at an assisted living facility. That's not part of our life dream. We don't allow those kind of realities to infringe upon what we call, this is my life dream. This is what I have for my future. And I'm sure that Joseph had a life dream that did not include the harsh realities of life that were getting ready to unfold. This was not part of Joseph's dream that Mary would come to him and say, "I am pregnant." That was not something they talked about when they were planning their future. In fact, Matthew tells us, we read it, verse 18, "But when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly." This was not part of Joseph's dream. And now he's faced with a choice. What am I going to do? Because Joseph had the power of life and death over Mary. He could go to the gates of the city where the elders assembled each day to conduct the business of the community. And he could announce to them that my espoused wife, the woman I'm engaged to, is pregnant. And I don't know who she's pregnant by, but she has committed fornication. She has broken the vows of our engagement. And I publicly, in front of the city elders and in front of the citizens of this city, I publicly divorce her. He had a way out. He could shame her. In fact, the Jewish law called for when a woman who was engaged to be married became pregnant outside before she was married, the city elders were called for by the scripture to stone her to death. And if her parents were aware of it and hid it from the citizens, they were to be stoned as well. He could also divorce her quietly. He could go to her father and say, "Because Mary is pregnant, because she has broken the vows of our engagement, I divorce her. She is your daughter. You do with her what you want to do, but I wash my hands of her. This was not part of my dream. This was not, I envisioned the way my life would be. I want nothing to do with her. Joseph's life's dreams were shattered. Because even if he chose to marry her, Joseph would always carry with him the stigma of maybe Joseph broke the vows of the engagement. And so we look to what the angel said to Joseph when he was announcing the news to Joseph that would shatter Joseph's life dreams. Verse 20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You and I are going to find, and you will find it every time you read the story of Christmas, you will find a common phrase that links all the characters together. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. And that was the consolation of God to a man whose life's dreams were now shattered before him. That his plans and his hopes and the way he saw his life unfolding was now broken in pieces and laying at his feet. And the angel says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Because you see, our first reaction oftentimes when our dreams are shattered is fear. When the doctor gives us a diagnosis that seemingly shatters our life, fear. When something happens, fear. When something we cannot control, fear. When we receive bad news about one of our children or one of our grandchildren, fear. When our life takes a turn that we were not expecting, and now we're going down a pathway that was not part of my life dream, fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being left alone. Fear of being overwhelmed. Fear of rejection. Fear of never getting over it. Fear of never overcoming it. Fear of pain. Fear of heartache. Fear of sorrow. And just like God's message to Joseph when his dream was disrupted was, do not be afraid, that is God's message to you and I when our life dreams are shattered, when our life dreams are disrupted. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. When the children of Israel stood before the Red Sea and it appeared that their dream was disrupted, they thought they were coming out of Egypt and going straight into the Promised Land. They didn't envision a Red Sea that would have to be crossed. This was not part of their dream. This was not part of their plan. And what did Moses say to them? Do not be afraid. When Elijah walks into the city, the little village of Zarephath, and there's a widow gathering sticks to cook one final meal for her and her son so that then after they've eaten they can die. This was not part of her life dream. She didn't see herself being a widow. She didn't see herself being destitute. She didn't dream that there would come a day in which she would realize that I'm going to cook one final meal and then my son and I will starve to death together. And yet, what was the message of Elijah to her? Don't be afraid. Jesus comes walking to the disciples. They're rowing the boat thinking they're going to drown. This was not part of their dream. Their dream was, we're going to get on the boat. The seas are calm as glass. We're going to go over to the other side and Jesus will eventually join us. None of them foresaw this disruption of their dream. None of them saw this unexpected calamity, this unexpected storm. And Jesus comes walking across on the water. And what is His message to them? Do not be afraid. It was His message to Martha when she stood outside the tomb of her brother Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And she has complained to Jesus, "If you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We wouldn't have been left. This wasn't part of our dream. This was not what we envisioned. This was not what we planned. This was not what we talked about. We didn't see this unexpected death." What was Jesus' message to her? Do not be afraid. As we look at the book of Revelation, and we read of the ending church age, and we look around our world, and we look around our nation, and we see what is unfolding all around us, the message of God to us is still the same that it has always been. Do not be afraid. Have your dreams been disrupted? Has your life plan been turned upside down? Has something happened in your life that this was not what you had dreamed? This was not part of your life plan. This was not the way you saw life was going to unfold. Here's the beautiful thought and the beautiful ending of this story, and it is this. Even when your life dreams are disrupted, God can give you a new dream. The disruption of your dreams and your plans are not the disruption of God's plans. God can take even the shattered pieces of our dreams, the shattered pieces of our future, the shattered pieces of our hope, and put it all back together. Maybe today, as you survey the shattered pieces of your dream, and you look at the disruption that has come into your life that totally broke up all your dreams and all your hopes for the future, maybe God is offering you a new dream. One that is based on faith and trust in Him. You and I have the opportunity to let the disrupted dreams go and to grab on to the new dream God has for us. Well, this wasn't the way I saw my life unfolding. This wasn't part of my plan. This was not part of what I wanted to see. No, it's not. None of our disrupted dreams are. But God can take the shattered pieces and make something new. About three or four weeks ago, we had put the Christmas tree up, but Sherry wanted another Christmas tree. She wanted a smaller one. So we went to Lowe's, we bought a small Christmas tree, and we decorated it. And it was sitting there on this music stand we have that's about this high, and just this past week, I was sitting at the dining room table doing some work, and all of a sudden I heard this crash. And I looked, and there was the little tree in the floor, glass busted everywhere. And you know what I've found out about glass ornaments is when they break, they don't break in big pieces that you can pick up. No, they break in all those little tiny pieces that you have to get a flashlight and look for them, because you know if you don't, you'll find it the next time you come into the room barefooted. And so you sweep and you beat the rug and you vacuum and you vacuum and you vacuum. And the first thought in my mind was this: I'm going to throw that tree away. That tree has disrupted my day. It's disrupted my plans for the day. I didn't plan on sweeping up glass ornaments that have gone into my office, that have gone into the den, that have gone down the hallway, that have snuck. How they did it, I don't know. They even snuck under a rug. This was not part of my plan. And I fussed. Sherry wasn't there, so I can fuss all I want to when she's not home. And I'm fussing all through the house. I fussed all the way to get the broom and the dustpan and the vacuum cleaner. I'm fussing while I'm sweeping it up. And there's water all in it, and it wants to stick to the floor. And now I'm really fussing. I wasn't cussing, but I was fussing. I finally got it all up. And I picked that tree up. It was laying on the floor. I picked it up from the bottom. It's upside down. And I'm walking it out the door. I get right to the garbage can. I flip the lid open, and then I think, Sherry's coming home. How am I going to explain this? Hun, I don't know. The tree got away from me. I don't know how it ended up in the garbage can. So I took the tree back in, set it back up, went into the garage, pulled my car out so I could get the Tupperware box that had all the ornaments, got them out, redecorated the tree, took a picture of it, sent it to Sherry at work. I said, I'll tell you what happened tonight. And you know what she told me? She said, the tree looks better now than it did before. I look at the shattered pieces that have been part of my life. The shattered dreams, the crushed hopes, the broken relationships, the things I was not expecting and didn't plan for and didn't envision. And yet I look and I see the goodness and the grace and the love of God. And I am reminded as I read the story of Joseph and his disrupted dreams of what Paul wrote to the Romans when he said, for we know that God makes all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Today would be a wonderful day as we are almost halfway to Christmas Day to say, Lord, You see the shattered dreams. You see the disruptions that have come into my life, and I choose today to stop being angry, to stop being resentful, to stop being jealous of others whose dreams were not broken up like mine were. And I choose today, in the midst of my pain and my question, to believe that You can unfold another dream out of these shattered pieces. Heavenly Father, I am grateful that even though You do not orchestrate the shattering of our dreams, You are right there. When our dreams get crushed and broken, tossed asunder, when our dreams are disrupted, when our plans fail, when our hopes turn into what appears to be hopelessness, You are there to love, to hold, to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen, and to whisper in our ears, I have another dream for You. Oh Lord, may we during this season look to You with hope and expectancy and faith for that which is about to unfold before us. thank you for the disrupted dreams and how you take the broken pieces and make something beautiful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, take your hymnal, turn to page 204. Ken's coming to lead.